think I'm right. I think that's Tina in the back. Is that right? Amen. Good to have you again visiting with us. Amen. Miss Tina Goree. Amen. The prophet said unto the young preacher to preach the word. We're living in a world today where the world needs to hear the word. We need to hear the word because the word is living and is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. We need to hear the word because all flesh is as grass and the glory of man as the flower of grass. We need to hear the word because man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need to hear the word because the word is God's power unto salvation to everyone that believes. And we need to hear the word because the word should be in our hearts like a burning fire shut up in our bones. Amen. You have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller. I want to call your attention to the book of James, the first chapter. James chapter 1. And I want to begin reading at the 12th verse. James chapter 1. Verse number 12 beginning. Have that say amen. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Using that text, I want to talk for a little while from the subject, what we become when. What we become when. And I would imagine you was wondering, when what? What we become when we endure temptation. Now, this is a message this morning about the reality of temptation. Temptation is a part of life. And when we are tempted, it is an opportunity to go forward or to go backwards. Temptation is a time for us to advance or for us to retreat. But the Bible makes it clear that temptation is the common lot of all human beings. All of us here today have encountered or faced temptation because it is a fact of life. Amen. Well, what does the word tempt or temptation means? Temptation means a trial or a test. And I have to tell you, you can't pass the test if you don't learn the lesson. There are some lessons in life we need to learn, and there are some tests we have to take. Temptation, from one of the best theological dictionary, means it is a trying or testing of one's faith. It is a trying or testing of one's character. It is a trying or testing of one's virtue by the enticement to sin. Now, of course, sometimes the word temptation refers to the external trials of life that we all encounter. Into each life a little rain must fall. Amen. But in this case, we're talking about the enticement to do wrong. Now, when we look at this text here in James chapter 1, verse 12, it said, blessed is the man. And I'm sure this morning that we're all interested in being blessed. Amen. We're all interested in being blessed. The Bible is a book of blessing. It is a book that talks about cursing. And the Bible is the book that shows us how to position ourselves in order to be blessed. And one blessing comes from having the right attitude. If you have the right attitude, that's a blessing. That's why the Bible said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's why the Bible talks about, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But in this case, there's also a blessing. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. That's a blessing. To be in a position where you can help somebody. Amen. And then, of course, in this text, it is a blessing when you can endure temptation. The American Standard Version renders this verse. You look at verse 12 again. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. The American Standard Version talks about the man that is approved. When you stand the test, there's a blessing for you. Because we're all going to encounter temptation. The devil's going to call your number. The devil's going to beep you. He's going to email you. Amen. He'll even get your unlisted number and call that. Because he's relentless in his work. But he said, blessed is the man that endureth, or the man that stands the test. There's a blessing for you when the devil comes and you stand the test. Then he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, when he's tested, he shall receive the crown of life. Now, of course, the crown of life is that which God has promised, and we are going to receive that if we're faithful. James chapter 1 verse 12 talks about the crown of life, and also in Revelation chapter 2 verse 10, the latter part of the passage, it talks about also receiving the crown of life when the Lord crowns us with life. And then of course sometime of this crown is referred to as a crown of righteousness. In 2 Timothy 4 about verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. As a result of this, I'm going to receive the crown of righteousness. Then sometime this crown is called an incorruptible crown, and it doesn't fade away. According to 1 Corinthians 9:25, it is an incorruptible crown. That is, it's not subject to decay or deterioration. And then sometime this crown is called a crown of glory. It doesn't fade away. So what happens when you endure temptation, when you stand the test? You are going to be blessed. Amen. When you stand the test, because temptation is coming your way. When you stand the test according to the word of God, you're going to be blessed. Now, of course, we need to know the truth about temptation. Look at the next verse, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God, because God is untemptable. God cannot be tempted to do wrong because he's absolutely and perfectly holy. He's confirmed in holiness. We're trying to develop holy character. And in order to develop holy character, we have to see how we're going to do in the face of sin. If you're going to be holy, you got to deal with sin. Amen. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer is no. Because the grace of God teaches us that we deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And we live soberly and godly and righteously. Where? In this present world. So don't say when you are tempted that God is leading me into temptation. God doesn't lead men into temptation, but God every day is delivering us from temptation. Jesus prayed the prayer, deliver us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So don't say when you are tempted to do wrong that God did it, because he doesn't do that. No, he does permit us to undergo the test. In the Garden of Eden, he certainly allowed the devil to have access to the woman in the garden, but he wasn't trying to get her to do wrong. Well, let's look a little further here at this text. He said, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Look at verse 14. But every man, that include you and me, every man is tempted when? When is a man tempted? And the answer is when he's drawn or lured away after his own lust or desire. That's when I'm tempted. When I want something I ain't got no business with. Oh, I wish I had some help in here. That's when I'm tempted, when I'm drawn away from the place and the path of safety. After my own desire. Have you ever been on a road you shouldn't have been on? You ever made a turn you shouldn't have made? Ever made a decision you regret? That's life, isn't it? One thing about it, if you make a mistake, the worst thing you can do when you make a mistake is to prolong it. You know you made a mistake, correct it. A man is tempted when he is drawn away. Watch this. Of his own lust, his own desire. Now look at the word and entice. Now the idea of entice is the idea, two metaphors used from hunting and fishing. When you are enticed, and what you do with a fish, you entice him to bite the hook, don't you? And you entice him to bite the hook by baiting the hook. You see, you put a worm on the hook and the fish think he gonna eat and he get ate. Is that all right? So what you do, what the devil does, he baits the hook. You see, he shows us the bait. We don't see the hook that's in the bait. Sort of like the mouse. Should I say the rat? Y'all all right? The rat who's trying to get the cheese. But he don't realize that cheese got a high price. You'll get your neck broke trying to eat cheese. Is that all right? Because what we do, we bait the hook. But not only is it the idea of, it's the idea of hunting with snares. So the devil throws out the lure. I'm drawn away of my own desire. And the devil is baiting the hook. He's hunting me with snares. And a snare is a trap. He's trying to trap me. Watch this now. And then it says that when I'm drawn away and he baits the hook and he hunts me with snares, then the next verse says, then when lust or desire hath conceived. And the idea is taken there from a woman receiving seed as in conception. So when a woman receives seed in the sexual process, there takes place a conception. When a woman conceives, she's going to bring something forth. Whether it be premature or induced abortion or a full-term delivery, she's going to bring something forth. So when sin hath conceived, that is, my desire and my will unite. That's called conception. That when my evil desire, my wrong desire, unites with my will. That's conception. That way, when conception takes place, look at it, let's go a little further. When conception takes place, it bringeth forth the baby called sin. And sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. That's what happens when I give in to temptation. Now, when I stand the test, I receive the blessing. When I yield to temptation, I receive the curse. Amen. So don't let anybody mislead you about temptation. God does not tempt us to sin. But I sin when I fall for the bait. When I'm drawn away and my desire unites with my will. And when that happens, it produces sin. And sin, when it is finished, it brings forth a full-grown child or a full-grown man called death. Don't let anybody mislead you. Now, I want you to see three things in this lesson. Number one, I want you to see that Jesus Christ, the revelation and explanation of the temptation of Jesus. If you ever want to know how to handle temptation, you got to look at the revelation and the explanation of temptation as presented in the New Testament about Jesus. Amen. The second idea in this message are the avenues of temptation. The avenues of temptation. There are three ways in which we're tempted. And the third point in this message is what we become when we endure temptation. Now, Jesus Christ is the world's true MVP. Did y'all hear what I said? Jesus Christ is the most valuable person. And he is the world's VIP. He is the world's most important, or he is a very important person. And the life of Christ is the most significant life in the world. It ought to be the most fascinating life. Amen. It is the most important life. Nobody is wiser than Jesus. Nobody is more concerned than Jesus. Nobody is more giving than Jesus. Amen. And that is relevant to you and I. So when I look at the fact that he was tempted, the Bible lets us know that he was tempted in all points. Did you encounter temptation last week? Might have had some last night. I don't know. You got to know how to handle temptation where you can receive the blessing. Because if temptation handles you, you're going to receive the curse. Amen. So the Bible lets us know in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Brother Hillary, Hebrews 4, 15. What does it say, brother? If you have that, Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says what? Watch this. Hebrews 4, 15.
For we have not an high priest.
We have not a high priest.
Which cannot be touched.
That cannot be touched.
With the feelings of our infirmity.
And that's the Greek word sympathesia, which means he has sympathy. He feels what I'm going through. Sometimes the young people say, can you feel me on this? You know, that's pretty accurate. If you've gone through an experience and somebody is going through it, you know what they're going through, don't you? Is that correct? If you lost your job and somebody lost their job, then you know what they're going through, right? Somebody lost their mother, you lost your mother, you know what they're going through. Is that correct? If you had your car repossessed and he got his car repossessed, you know what he feel like. Is that all right? If you couldn't pay your mortgage and this guy can't pay his mortgage, you know what he's going through. So Jesus knows what you're going through if you're trying to live right. Everybody ain't trying to live right. They're like the Isaac brother. It's my thing. And I do what I want to do. Is that all right? Read it, Brother Hillary.
But was in all points
tempted. He was in all points tempted.
Like as we are.
Like as we are.
Yet without sin.
The only difference is that Jesus never gave in to sin. He was tempted in all points just like we are. That's the explanation. Just like we are. Just like what you're going through. You ever feel like somebody doesn't understand what you're going through? Do you? Well, Jesus was tempted in all points just like we are, yet without, come on.
Yet without sin.
Read.
Let us therefore come boldly.
So in view of this, if you're going through temptation, there's a place you can get some help. Is that right? You know, during the tornado, people who were victims of the tornado were trying to seek places where they could get some assistance, and that's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing, isn't it? Is that right? So if you're going through the tornado of temptation, you need to go know where you can go get some help. Read, Brother Hillary.
Let us therefore
come boldly
to the throne of grace
that we may obtain
mercy
and find grace to help
in time of need.
When you're going through your trial and your tribulation, you're gonna need some help, don't you? Anybody need any help this morning? I need some help in this spiritual warfare. I need some help in this spiritual walk. Yes, I do. Is that all right? So Jesus knows about the experience. Bible says he was baptized into the Jordan River, the waters dripping fresh from him, led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the tempter came to him. The devil's going to come at you at your weakest point. When you don't feel like being bothered, the devil shows up. When you just want to be left alone and rest, the devil shows up. When he had hungered for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, the devil came to him and said, if you are, he's always got to put doubt in your mind. Since you think, if you a Christian, you stop cussing so much. Y'all didn't look for that, did you? That just come out of nowhere. Praise God. If you're a Christian, you got to stop lying so much. Oh, help me here. Is that right? If you're a Christian, you ought to be in church every Sunday. Let me run out the back door here now. Amen. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus said, here's how you handle temptation. You stand with the word. You say, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word. Do you live that way? Come on, y'all. You want to handle temptation? You got to live by the word. Is that right? I can't hardly hear y'all. Is that right? You got to live by the word. Is that correct? Then the devil took him to a pinnacle. And you know, I'm going to talk more about this. You know, another big problem with temptation is your own ego. Hello? And all of us got them. And I think men have more trouble with ego than women. You all right? Took him up to a pinnacle of the temple and said, cast yourself down. Because it's written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it's written again. Don't twist the word. Too many people today saying they're speaking for God, but they are twisting the word. the word. Because how many believe God will take care of you? But do you think God wants you to go out on 5920 and stand in the middle of the freeway and say the Lord will provide while tractor trailers bearing down on you? That's faith. That ain't faith. That's foolishness. Is that right? So Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then Brother Everett read that he took him to a high mountain and showed him a sweeping panoramic view of all the kingdoms of the world. And said to him, all these things will I give you. And sometime, church, you see something that fascinates you. And you want it. Amen. That's the lust of the eye. And he said, all these kingdoms will I give you if you just fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. If I'm going to worship anybody, it ought to be God. I ought not to worship money. I ought not to worship people. If I'm going to worship anyone, it ought to be God. So Jesus, through the explanation, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet he never sinned. Amen. That's the explanation. And we see the revelation. He the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Amen. But in each case, he's left us an example that we should do what? Follow his steps. And here's the second point. Second point is the avenues of temptation. Now, all of us, Sister Pat Vance uses this terminology, and she's correct. All of us are involved in spiritual warfare. Amen? You're in a battle between right and wrong, aren't you? All of us are in a battle between right and sometimes I know what's right, but I do what's wrong. Come on, y'all. Y'all going to go with me this morning? I'm just facing the facts this morning. But all of us are involved in a struggle. There's a tension between what's right and what's wrong. Amen. Maybe it's kind of easy to do good when you're in public and everybody watching you, but what do you do when you're by yourself? When you think ain't nobody watching? Oh, I wish I had some help here. Is that all right? Well, there are three avenues of temptation. According to 1 John 2, let's look at it, brother, here at 1 John 2:15, three avenues of temptation. Let's look at these avenues. All of us have to deal with these three avenues. Let's see what they are. Three avenues of temptation.
1 John 2:15,
what does it say?
Love not the world.
Love not the world.
Neither the things that are in the
world. Neither the things that are in the world.
If any man love the world.
Any man love the world.
The love of the Father is
the love of God. If you love the world, you can't love God and the world at the same time. Hello? You got to give your heart to God or the world's got your heart. Read.
For all that is in the world.
All that's in the world.
The lust of the
world. Lust means desire. Desires get people in trouble. Hello? Eve looked at the fruit, and it was desire to make one wise. Hello? David saw Bathsheba bathing herself. Come on, y'all. Is that all right? And you want that which is forbidden. Lust of the flesh. Come on.
And the lust of the
eyes. Lust of the eyes, what you see, the desires of the eye. Come on.
And the pride of life.
And the pride of the vain glory, my egotism. And here are two things that get people in trouble. Desire and pride. Hello? All of us have to deal with desire and pride. Amen? You want to know, the Bible talks about don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how you beat evil. You got to beat evil with doing good. Is that right? The Bible also talks about in 2 Peter, And about verse 20, chapter 2, about verse 20, it talks about that if after we have escaped the pollution of the world through lust, people's lives are corrupted because they give in to desire and pride. Desire and pride. Pride will make me put me in a position where I ought to be apologizing. I'm just too stubborn. Hello? To say I was wrong. Amen? But sometimes you got to humble yourself. And you know why sin dominates the world? Because people's lives are controlled by desire. And the only way you can deal with desire, you got to practice self-denial. That's the only way you can deal with wrong desire. Hello? And the only way you can deal with pride is bring your will into subjection to God's. In other words, the volume of the song, "Not My Will, But Thy Will Be Done," got to, the volume's got to increase. The intensity has to increase. If I'm going to ever handle temptation, amen, I got to deal with desire and pride. Desire ever got you in trouble? Don't you answer that. What about pride? Amen. Maybe if you had left your gun at home, you wouldn't have been arguing with the guy who crossed you. Hello? You say, man, I ain't got to take this. Hello, y'all? That's pride. Amen? Sometimes the best thing to do is just walk away. Don't lose a thing. It's a whole lot cheaper to just walk away. Is that right? So if I'm going to handle temptation, I got to deal with desire. Let's go to Galatians 5. And I'm bringing this lesson to a close. One other idea I want to talk with you about, and we're going to be finished. Galatians 5, 24. What does that say? Galatians 5, 24 says what?
And they that are Christ,
and they that are Christ,
have crucified the flesh,
have crucified the flesh
with the affections,
with
and
the
lusts.
Desires and what?
And lusts.
And so what I have to do is crucify the wrong desire. But a lot of time the problem is I don't want to crucify it. I want to fulfill it. Hello? Is that correct? Now, here's the final idea. What we become when we endure temptation. Amen. Well, let's go to John, 1 John 5. And it talks about overcoming the world. 1 John 5 and verse 4 and 5. Listen to this.
For whatsoever is born of God,
whatsoever is born of God,
overcometh the world.
Overcomes the world.
And this is the victory.
And how many want personal victory? Shall we continue in sin or shall we fight against sin? Because I want to receive the crown of righteousness. I want to receive the incorruptible crown. I want to receive the crown that doesn't fade away. Is that correct? But if I give in to temptation, then it will disinherit me. Is that right? Read it, Brother Hillary. What does it say?
And this is the victory.
And this is the victory.
That overcometh the world.
That overcometh the world. Now, either I overcome the world or I conform to the world. I let the world bend my mind, my thinking, into its mold. And I'm going to tell you something. You better hear this. More and more, the world is rejecting the Bible. They don't care what the Bible says, but I'm going to stand with the word. I'm going to live by the word to the best of my ability. Is that right? Because if you love the world, you can't love God. Read, Brother Hillary.
Who is he that overcometh
the world? Who is he that overcometh the world?
But he that believeth that
But
Jesus
he
is the
that
Son of
believes
God.
That what?
Jesus.
That Jesus Christ
is the Son of God.
Is the Son of God. That's a victory right there. When you can accept the reality that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Some say he was just a prophet. Some say he was just a moral genius. No, he was the Son of God. He's the prophet that we have to listen to. God said, hear ye him. God who in sundry time in diverse manners spoken to the Father by the prophet, but he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So I got to hear Jesus Christ. Let me give you four things you become when you overcome temptation. I'm going to give you four things. We're going to conclude. Four things you become when you overcome temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Amen. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Number one, you become stronger. How many want to be stronger? If you want to get stronger physically, what do you have to do? I tell you what you do. Go to the gym and sit down and watch folks exercise for an hour. And you'll get stronger, right? Is that correct? Got a workout, Brother Howard? Well, my wife went to the track. She said, I want you to go with me. I said, okay, I'll go with you. And I sat in the bleachers. She walked around the track. And when she got ready to go, I got up and walked to the car with her. Did that help me, Hillary, physically? In order to get stronger, I've got to do some resistance training. Right? So if I want to get strong, I got to. Is that it? Well, somebody said, well, Brother Moss, I do that every day. At the table, I get my fork and I. But that ain't what we're talking about, is it? You got to do some exercise. Is that right? So listen, so when the devil tempts me, God is giving me an opportunity to get stronger. Every temptation I resist, I get stronger. And sometimes temptation can follow you for days. Some on your back for days, you can't shake it. Until finally you got to tell the devil to get behind you. Is that right? Ephesians 6:10 said, be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might. I tell you, God is a God that gives men strength. Yes, I hear Isaiah saying, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, faint if not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He give power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. Run, not be weary. Walk, not faint. Is that right? Every time I resist temptation, I get stronger. Here's the second thing I become. I become wiser. I become wiser. I become smarter. Amen. And I need wisdom to live in this world. One of the most important things, Brother Hill, run over to Proverbs 3, look at verse 15. One of the most important things you could ever have. You know, wisdom is no more important than money. Are y'all listening? I said it's more important than money. Proverbs 3, 15 says what? Read it.
She is more precious than rubies.
She is more, well, back up to it, a few verses before that. Let's set the context. What we're talking about contextually. What does it say? About verse 13. What does 13 say?
Happy is the man that findeth wisdom.
Happy is the man that findeth
wisdom.
You know, how many men want to be happy? The Bible said a man is happy when he finds a wife. All I got is Sam White in here. I at least thought I'd heard you. And you too. Happy is the man that findeth a wife. Is that right, Hillary? Say it loud, Hillary.
Amen.
Amen. Read. What does it say?
And the man that getteth understanding.
And the man that getteth understanding.
For the merchandise of it is.
For the merchandise of it.
Is better than the merchandise of silver.
Than the merchandise of silver.
And the gain thereof.
And the gain thereof.
Than fine gold.
Than fine gold. Wisdom is more precious than silver or fine gold. Thank you, Jesus. Read.
She is more precious
than rubies. She is more precious than what?
Rubies.
Rubies.
And all the things.
And of all the things. This is a profound passage. What does it say?
Thou canst
desire. Of all the things you could desire.
Are not to be compared unto her.
Nothing you can desire can be compared to wisdom. Are you listening to that? Nothing you can desire, all right, Matthew, is to be compared to wisdom. Is that correct? Read it again, Brother Hillary.
Happy is the man.
No, that verse you just read, of all the things you can desire.
She is more precious
than rubies. She is more precious than rubies.
And all the things thou can
desire. And all the things you can desire.
Are not to be compared.
Are not to be compared to her. Read. Read, Brother Hillary.
Length of days.
You want to live a long life?
Is in her right hand.
You want to live a long time? Want to be healthy? Get wisdom. Want to have friends and people in your life? Get wisdom. Want to go to heaven when you die? Get wisdom. Is that right? Read.
And in her left hand.
And in her left hand.
Riches and honor.
Riches and honor.
Her ways are ways of pleasantness.
Her ways are ways of pleasantness.
And all her paths are peace.
And all her paths. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Peace, is that right? So you become stronger when you endure testing. You become wiser. Number three, you become better. How many want to improve? The biggest room in the world is the room of improvement. Is that right? And when you endure temptation, when you say no to the devil and you mean it, you become better. You can say, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Can't you say that? Then here's the fourth thing. When you endure temptation, you become blessed. You become blessed, amen. You become stronger, you become wiser, you become better, and you become blessed. James 1:12 say, blessed is the man. That what? You got your Bible? Everybody turn to James 1:12. Let's read it together as we conclude. I want everybody to read this together. James 1:12. Let's read it together. You see, you need to say it out of your mouth. It's one thing to hear it. You need to say it out of your mouth. Amen. Let's go to James 1:12. Everybody have that? James 1:12. Everyone have that? Let me ask again. Y'all ain't responding. James 1:12. You have it? Let's read it. What does it say? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried. Read it. And let me tell you this, when you love the Lord, you obey him. Hello? You can't say you love the Lord and you don't obey him. Amen? If you love me, keep my commandments. Don't merely call him Lord, Lord, and don't do the thing he says. So in conclusion today, maybe you've been giving in to temptation. I want to tell you what you become when you endure temptation. You become stronger. You become wiser. You become better. You become blessed. That's enough right there to motivate you, isn't it? And as a Christian, you got to keep your eye on the prize. The promises of God ought to motivate you. And their promises are called exceeding great. They are tremendous promises. And one thing about it, the promises of God are like money in the bank, because God can't lie. And God doesn't play with words. Amen? And he wants you to know, if you can endure temptation, fight a good fight. Keep on fighting the good fight. Amen? Keep on running the race. Amen? Keep on fighting the fight. And one day you're going to finish your course. Well, Brother Moss, what can I do to get in the right way? Well, you got to do five things to become a member of the Lord's church. You got to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17. You got to believe that John 3:16. You got to confess Christ. Amen. Romans 10:9-10. You got to repent of your sins. Acts 17:30. And then you got to be baptized in water. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Immerse in water for the remission of your sin. If you're a wise person, you will take those five steps. And you allow Christ to add you to the church. You can read about it in the Bible. Is that right? And if you're a member of the Lord's church and you have allowed the devil to whisper in your ear and to lead you in the paths of unrighteousness, I got some good news for you. And that good news is because when we preach the gospel, we've got to always give people hope. Amen? You shouldn't ever leave the house of God feeling like it ain't no hope. Is that all right? Because God can do a lot with a little. He took five loaves of bread and two fish and opened up a Captain D's on a grassy hillside. Is that all right? He made time out of second. He made great oceans out of drops of water. Is that all right? He took several nobodies and turned them into somebodies. I tell you, if you give your life to Jesus, you'll be amazed what he can do with it. And if you just count your blessings, you've been blessed. You've been blessed by the best, amen. And if you just count your blessings, you name them one by one, it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. Is that all right? So I'm closing now. I'm going to see, but I got to tell you this. I gotta talk about the word, Wes. It's something about that mighty word of God, ain't it? It's something about that perfect word of God. Oh, it's something about that incomparable word of God. And God's word tell me what I will become when I endure temptation. Is that all right? God's word tell me if I endure temptation, I'll get a spiritual promotion. If I endure temptation, I'll get a blessing. Is that all right? And if you want to know how to endure temptation, you ought to put your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Is that all right? When he was baptized in the Jordan River and the devil met him in the wilderness. Is that all right? He said to him, if you are the Son of God, I want you to turn these stones into bread. Didn't he say that? But Jesus said, no, man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Didn't he say that? Then the devil took him into the pinnacle of the temple and said, cast yourself down, because it's written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Didn't he say that? But Jesus said, no, it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Is that all right? Then he took him up to a high mountain, showed him a panoramic view of all the kingdoms of the world. Is that all right? He said, all these things will I give unto you if you just bow down, fall down and worship me. Is that all right? But Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Is that all right? Jesus said, I'm standing on the word. Jesus said, I'm holding on to the word. Is that all right? Jesus said, I'm abiding in the word. Is that all right? Oh, it's something about the word. The word shines with scintillating beauty like white pearls on blue velvet. Is that all right? The word's in a class all by itself. Somebody said the word is like a seed that germinates. The word is like a light that illuminates. The word is like a sword that penetrates. The word is like a hammer that obliterates. Is that all right? The word is like water that invigorates. Is that all right? The word is like bread that stimulates. The word is in a class all by itself. And that's why I said, blessed. Blessed is the man. And blessed is the woman that endures temptation. You're going to face temptation this week. But if you can remember, I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to get wiser. I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to get better. And I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize. Is that all right? And when I do that, I'll overcome. And let me tell you this. And even if the devil wins, guess what? Don't wallow. Get up. Brush yourself off. And try it again. Sort of like this baby was learning how to walk and everybody got all excited. And said, the baby took her first step, and that was mama, that was grandma and auntie. Come on, baby, come on. Baby tried to go over there. No, no, come on. Baby tried to go over there. No, no. Found the baby just sat down, didn't go nowhere. Don't you be that way. It's just two, amen. It's the Lord telling you, come on. And the devil telling you what? Come on. But you got to make up your mind, I'm going to follow Jesus. Stand on your feet. That's the message today. That's the message today. Anyone here today want to follow Jesus? Follow Jesus all the way to heaven. Amen. How many want to follow Jesus? Follow Jesus all the way to glory. Amen. And when you do, you can sing a new song, We Shall Overcome. Amen. And you know, we really can sing it with new meaning and power. We shall overcome someday. Because I'm overcoming through the power of the blood. I'm overcoming through the power of the word. Amen. It's something about the preached word of God. And then you can sing a new song. Yield not to temptation. Oh, far yield in his sin. Oh, he victory will have. Oh, some other to win. Why don't you fight manfully on? Oh, the passion subdue. All you got to do is look ever to Jesus. I know that he. All you got to do is just ask the Savior. He'll help you. Oh, come for strength and keep. I know that he is willing to. I know he'll aid you. Oh, he will care. All you got to do.